I'd like to greet you in Jesus' name. It has certainly been a time of exhortation this morning already. I've very much enjoyed being here and certainly appreciate the various aspects of encouragement and blessing and exhortation that we've been receiving thus far. Welcome to our visitors. It's good to have you here. Good to have you back, Mel. And the rest of you visitors, it's good to have you here as well. For a message this morning, I'd like to ask you a question first off. It's a fairly personal question, and maybe you don't know the answer to it fully. Do the people around you, when they look at you and observe your life, do they look at you and think that here is a person of honesty, is a person who is truthful, he's trustworthy, she's a sincere person, that man is upright? There's some parts of integrity that we can, I suppose, see. But there are the parts of us that no one sees. And I'd especially like to focus on that this morning. This is a personal message. This is one to me. First of all, I have, in my studies, have seen my shortcomings. And the Lord's been working in my life as well. The message title is Living with Integrity. Integrity means doing the right thing. There's a verse in Proverbs 11. I have a theme verse here that just states, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." So integrity is doing what's right. It's the right thing inside of you. Perverseness, or the lack of integrity, is also within you. Integrity guides you, helps you do what's right. Lack of integrity destroys a person. Integrity is the foundation of trust. Someone's honest and truthful and upright and trustworthy. It grows trust. Integrity is also the measure of character. The measure, the tape measure of what you really are. Not necessarily what people think you are, maybe not, but what God knows that you are. It's the measure of your character, integrity. And integrity is also the courage to stand by your values despite challenges. There's a story told. I'm not sure if it's a, maybe it's a story. Our story is fables. We'll call it story slash fable about a king who was looking for someone that he could appoint to a very important position in his kingdom. And he wasn't sure who he could trust to be truthful and honest. And so he devised this little test. He brought some folks in who he thought were good candidates for this and gave them a very simple task. He gave them a seed and told him to go and plant it. In 6 months, you come back and tell me what happened, what you grew. Show me your plant. 6 months later, they were back, and all of them had a plant that they proceeded to tell the king about and how this thing grew and all they did with it. And Then one of the candidates came with an empty pot. He said, I planted your seed and it didn't grow. So here's the empty pot. Well, the king said, I've found my man. He had actually boiled the seeds, so they were infertile. They were not growing anything. Nothing was going to grow out of these seeds. And so the only one who admitted it was the only truthful one in the bunch. Character. Integrity. Many times we can identify integrity or the lack of it. Oftentimes, not always. But I could tell you the story of Joseph. It's a familiar story. Faced with temptation in Egypt. And he said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? Was that integrity? Absolutely. Well, think about Daniel, who prayed 3 times a day, faced toward Jerusalem. And when the decree came that they were not supposed to pray to anyone except the king, he didn't change his schedule. He continued to pray with an open window, kneeling in front of it, in spite of the fact that it was going to cost him. Integrity. We can think about Achan. These are stark examples of integrity and the lack of it in the lives of people. You know how he was in the battle for Jericho there? And when he saw some things that he wanted, he took them and hid them. And it cost him as well. Lack of integrity. Destroyed him. Former two examples, the integrity of the upright, the integrity of Joseph and Daniel guided them in their decisions. Whereas Achan, his perverseness destroyed him and his family. Think about Zacchaeus. And when the Lord touched his heart and he responded to that, he said, I'm going to make things right. And if I have taken anything from anyone, I'm going to recompense them. I'm going to give it back to them. Integrity in everyday life. This is important for all of us to get to grasp, but I would like to especially put a challenge out to the young people who are young in life yet. You've got the Lord tarries, you have a lot of time left. And these decisions that you make and the guarding of your integrity is going to determine the kind of life that you'll be able to live. Integrity defined is that you're the same person in private as you are in public. Integrity has the idea of wholeness, of honesty, of moral soundness. Sometimes things that look good aren't necessarily good. I'm kind of finding that out firsthand. We've got a little car to my name that looks pretty good on the outside. It doesn't have a lot of dents or scratches. It's pretty much in good shape outside. But here about 3 weeks ago, I check the oil on it. And it needed a large amount of oil. And I checked it just yesterday again, and it didn't need as much as the other time, but it still needed a nice drink of oil again. looking good on the outside, but there's a bit of an integrity issue in the engine there. It's just not sound. It's got problems. Anybody who's not working closely with that car doesn't realize it on the road, but it's there, and sooner or later it's gonna have some more problems because there's a lack of integrity inside. Integrity is defined as well as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. The word integrity is taken from the word integer, which means whole or complete. A person of integrity is someone whose actions align with their beliefs, with what they say is important to them, and this contributes to a consistent and a trustworthy character. And in a world where ethical compromises are very common, who does keep their word out there after a while? Integrity stands as a beacon of hope, a beacon of righteousness. It's what's right. Proverbs 10:9 tells us that the one who lives with integrity lives securely. Thought about that with the devotions that Jason shared with us this morning, and then a bit in our Sunday school discussion as well. If you're living in integrity, you know you're right with God, you know things are clear, there's a peace that comes with that. And you actually, as Proverbs 10:9 says, the one who lives with integrity lives securely. You're not worrying about this or that, or if somebody's going to find out about that, or if I have to be careful what I say about this because I said something else about it last week. You don't have those kind of things because you're living in integrity. There's a lot of value in integrity. Integrity gives you guidance. The verse, Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. It directs our decisions when choices are a little bit blurry, maybe. There's different things you could do. But integrity in your heart takes you in the right direction, makes the right choice, helps you make the right choices. Another value is that people will trust you. People may forget talent or great ability, but they will remember honesty. And of course, I already mentioned the value of the peace in your heart that is brought as our conscience is kept clear. The test of integrity often comes when no one else is around. And small compromises often end up leading to bigger failures. You choose what seems like to be a little decision, wrong decision possibly, maybe an edgy decision, and it kind of takes you down that path that after a while you're just in a big problem. We mentioned Joseph. He was able to refuse temptation because he lived by his principles, by what he believed was right. And we dare not let our circumstances dictate our responses to temptation or other tests of integrity. I invite you to turn to Psalm 24. I'd like to read a few verses here. I'd like to ask the question and look at the question as to how we How do we lose our integrity? We believe that integrity is something that's good, something we want, the kind of person we want to be. It's the kind of thing we like to see in people that we associate with. We love dealing with folks of integrity. But it is possible to lose it, and many people have lost integrity, and so they're not trusted anymore. You know people who are not honest and not truthful, and they're not upright people. They're just not trustworthy. They're not sincere about the way they do life. You know those kind of people. We don't like it when we see in others, and yet sometimes we can overlook what's in our own hearts. So how do we lose integrity? Psalm 24, I'd like to read the first five verses. And this is the answer to the questions in verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Let's start reading verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He hath founded it, for he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. The Bible tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the things you're thinking about in your heart, that's the kind of person you are. That's who you are. Your integrity, or my integrity, or the lack of it, is actually the core of who we are. Now, sometimes it's obvious to people, sometimes it's not. These are things that we can keep hidden, if, for the most part, if we want to. But a lack of integrity does something to us that we really don't want to have happen. So this is a, like I said, this is a personal message, personal to me, it's personal for you. You need to think about your life and who you are inside. One of the things that happens, we talked about this in our Sunday school class just a bit. Some of you can't remember back that far, but some of us can. And so are there things that you thought were wrong and sinful 20 years ago, and they aren't today? Or you're looking at them a little differently today. And so what is that? Are there those things? I believe it's important that we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, maintain a clear and a sensitive conscience. And if there are things that are edgy to you right now, you know what those things are. Things that you're kind of, I know I shouldn't do this, but I guess it'll be all right this time. These are the places where you're going to start changing who you are inside. And this is what you have to really be careful about, because this will cause these kind of decisions over a long period of time, or even a short period of time maybe, will cause an internal erosion of who you are, your values, whether it's choices in reading material, in music, in association, even in dress, things that seem edgy to you today. Or think back 2 years or 5 years, things that seemed edgy back then, and we've done it long enough now that it doesn't bother us anymore, and we think we're fine. Sometimes changes are in order. We know that. But these are things. I believe that we need a core set of convictions. There are some non-negotiables. I could ask you, okay, so do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Well, of course, it's a non-negotiable. Do you believe the Bible teaches us not to return evil for good? Well, of course, it's not something we're going to debate about. Do you believe that the Bible teaches us that sisters are to wear head coverings? Well, of course, these are things that we need solid core convictions. These are not things we are debating or trying to explain away. Bible convictions, non-negotiable doctrines based on the Word of God. So, and then there are others that cause us sometimes to kind of shift, deviate, change, whatever. We have to be careful about these things. I was trying to think of an example, and I suppose the ones we talked about in our class would have been some very, very pertinent examples. We talked about the internet and the access to information that is not upbuilding, actually very detrimental. And often we can get started on those things by these little ads, whatever, and then it kind of takes us on into other things, and after a while we're involved in things that we had no intention of getting involved in. Well, these are the kind of things that if we continue to do them on an ongoing basis, decision after decision, choice after choice after choice, is going to cause an internal erosion of your core value, of who you are, what you believe is right and wrong, and you're going to find yourself changing what you believe. You wonder how people go from following the Bible into the world in one jump. You wonder about that. Well, it didn't happen quite so quickly, but there has been an internal erosion of who they were at one point, and they've changed and changed and changed, and finally they are where they are. A lack of integrity will make us, or help us, or actually cause us, would be a better word, I suppose, to become incapable of knowing what's right or wrong. And we actually lose our ability to deal with present situations in a spiritual or a biblical way, because we've been entertaining this thing of a lie so often, and starting to excuse it a bit and moving on and becoming more deeply involved, and after a while our inner compass, what was usually wrong, is not quite as wrong anymore, even though it still is. It causes confusion and it brings a lack of peace. It will also bring estrangement from God. We're back there at Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And it talks about the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, the one who has not lifted up his soul unto vain things, nor sworn deceitfully. I think that's talking about the idea of promising things that you're not keeping. These are the folks. These folks who are keeping themselves clear and clean in these things are the ones who are going to receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So I mentioned that it's important that we have conviction. There are things that we don't negotiate on. I believe it's important that we submit to God, that we walk in righteousness. It's our desire to do the will of God. It's our desire to make right choices. It's our desire to be faithful to what God wants us to do. It's our desire to be an example of the believer. Another thing I think is very important is that we, if we're concerned about maintaining integrity in our hearts, is maintaining relationships with people of integrity. So it's really easy, or it's difficult to see how a person who wants to maintain integrity in his own heart is able to go out and associate with folks who don't have integrity. They're just living lives of just total lack of integrity. They're not truthful. They're not honest people. They're not interested in doing what's right, necessarily. You can't really trust them. Sincerity is something that doesn't seem to be a part of their vocabulary. And if we associate continually with these kind of people, it's going to rub off on us. So relationship with people of integrity. We talked about exhorting each other so much more as you see the day approaching in our Sunday school lesson. And that's so very important, that we associate with folks who are concerned about being people of integrity, people who are serving God. We put our trust in God. I think a verse in Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And then verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So let's keep the Lord before us. Let's keep our focus upon him. And then, you know, sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes we sin. So what do we do with all that? We just cover it up and go on? I believe it's important that as we are endeavoring to live lives of integrity, we make a mistake, we do something that we're sorry about, that we know we shouldn't have done, it's important that we confess our failures. We confess our failures, and when necessary, to make restitution. You know, it's not enough just to confess your sin sometimes. If you have wronged someone, it's cost them money. You know, if you've made a promise to someone and you didn't keep your promise, and because of that breaking of your promise, they lost $300. Well, when you go back to confess your fault to him, I believe it should be more than a confession. It needs to be a restitution, a restoring of what you cost, or what your lack of integrity costs that person. I believe it's important that we make things right when we have wronged someone, in whatever way that might be. Truth. You know, I believe that as parents, one of the things that we should be really concerned about in training our children, teaching our children, is to teach them to tell the truth. I remember there was times when, in my younger years, when I remember one especially at school, where I ended up lying to the teacher about something I had done. And it didn't pay off very well at all, not with my parents or the teacher when she found out about it. But I believe that it's so important for us to teach truthfulness. This is one of the things that we as parents should have as goals for our children, that they are truthful. They tell the truth. Integrity matters. In conclusion, integrity is a personal virtue, but it's not just that. It's a vital part of our Christian walk. As we strive to live with integrity, we are actually reflecting God's character to the people that we come in contact with. So let's commit to being people of integrity, firm in your beliefs, know what you believe, living it out in everyday life in a way that there's no question about where you are. I believe our lives should be a testament to the power of integrity. It transforms us. It makes us different people than we were before we were Christians. We not only honor God, but we contribute to a more just and truthful community or society. To all of us, let's endeavor to live lives of integrity. Let's not compromise on what's right or wrong. We have decisions to make. Our conscience, our brotherhood, our parents, whoever it might be, can speak into these decisions we're making. And as we do that, we build, preserve, and build the integrity we already have. And we are a blessing and encouragement to those around us. It is a blessing to be a part of a group of believers that value integrity. So this is not so much a message to show you where you're wrong. It's to challenge you to look inside. But I look at you as men and women of integrity. And I really appreciate being a part of a community like that. May we continue to live in that way and to do it more fully. May the Lord direct us in examining our lives, make sure that we're not deviating, we're not fudging on issues, we're not being edgy with our decisions. I think you know what I mean with that. But let's focus on God and His Word and allow it to speak to us and help us make decisions that continue to promote integrity in ourselves and in the life of our community, our church here. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.